have a couple people I noticed that came in late. I just wanted to announce, if you didn't hear at the beginning of the meeting, our second public hearing, change of zone 1764 Marine Farm, has been withdrawn. So if anyone has an interest in that, there'll be no public hearing on that. The other two, the conditional use and the change of zone, will go forward as scheduled. And just an additional note on conditional uses and change of zones, it's the obligation of Planning and Zoning Commission to make a recommendation to County Council. There will be separate hearings in front of County Council on these conditional uses and change of zones. So let's get the ball rolling with our first public hearing, which is conditional use number 2013 TBHM LLC.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a metery microbrewery for the manufacturing of honey wine and tasting. It'll be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 2.99 acres more or less, for land lying north of Route 9, Lewis-Georgetown Highway, 600 feet east of Cool Spring Road, and being south of the railroad. A 911 address is not available. The tax map ID is District 334, Map 4, Parcel 34, and being a part of that parcel, and also District 235, Map 31, Parcel Number 15. For the benefit of the commission, the applicants did provide an exhibit booklet for consideration on February 27th of 2015, and that exhibit booklet is some contents that include their presentation that's going to be presented this evening. We did receive three agency comments, first one being from Department of Transportation, also known as DLDOT. They provided comments in the form of a support facilities report dated October 7th of 2014, and reference that a traffic impact study is not recommended and that the current level of service of Route 9 will not change as a result of this application. We also heard from the Sussex Conservation District, again in the form of a memorandum on March 9th of 2015, and they reference that the site contains four soil types that the applicants will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation, that no storm flood hazard areas are affected, that the necessity for off-site drainage improvements is not likely, that on-site drainage improvements will be required, and that no tax ditches are affected. We also received comments from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. They provided comments in the form of a memorandum on March 10, 2015, in reference that the property is in the North Coastal Planning Area, that an on-site septic system is proposed, that conformity to the North Coastal Planning Study will be required, that the proposed use is not in an area where the county currently has a schedule to provide sewer service, and that a concept plan is not required. Gentlemen, that's all I received to date from any individual or agency. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Lank. Is there anyone here representing this application? That would be you, sir, if you'd kindly step up to the podium. Give us your...
Both of us? We're co-owners, is that all right?
Yeah, that's fine.
It'll be fine. Yeah, just introduce yourselves, name and address for the record, and the floor is yours.
Do you want home address or business address?
Wherever you get your mail, son.
Okay. Yeah. All right. My name's John Talkington. My address is 10078. Middleford Road, Seaford, Delaware, 19973.
And Robert Walker, 19928 Summer Place, Milton, Delaware, 19968.
Thank you. Well, you gentlemen have heard what our director has read into the record. Do you have anything that you would like to add, any explanations? Please do so.
We had sent in the presentation. I guess we'll just kind of go through that, and if you guys have any questions, just let us know, and we should hopefully have your answers. Also, the gentleman building the building and that owns the land are also here in case there's any questions for them as well.
I guess I'll tell you what mead is. Mead is a type of honey wine. State laws, we fall under a microbrewery law, so it's mead, cider, and beer. But federally, we would fall under agricultural wine. So it would the facility would be one run like a winery and not a brewery, so we wouldn't be using the amounts of water that a beer brewery would. So mead is made from honey, water, yeast. It would be fermented in fermentation tanks. The ending product can be sweet like a wine or dry and sparkling like a champagne. Let's see. It usually takes around 3 months for fermentation. Then the filtration process and then bottling happens after that. First year production, we planned on doing around 2,000 gallons. So that's roughly around 800 cases worth. Since mead is a very old beverage, it dates back like 9,000 years from archaeological evidence. So our tasting area, we want it to be like a Scandinavian kind of setup, like a mead hall. So people coming there would have a unique experience and get to taste a unique beverage that's millennia years old.
Okay. We would be the first meadery in Delaware. The closest one is in Baltimore, so that's over 100 miles away. Now, our microbrewery law, I had sent in the law itself, is Title 4, 512C. Basically, is what we're looking for is to be able to do what our law allows us to. Written down on here that number 3 allows us to sell our mead manufactured on the licensed premises in labeled barrels, bottles, or other closed containers to importers licensed under this title for delivery by them to persons inside or outside the state. So that allows us to basically use a distributor if we want to sell outside of the state of Delaware. Number 4 is probably the most important for us. We want to be able to sell out of the licensed premises mead manufactured on the licensed premises for consumption on or off licensed premises. The amount of mead sold for off-premises consumption should be limited to a maximum of 5 cases per day to each retail customer. Now, our plan is to be able to sell mead by draft, by growler, by bottle, by the glass, and by keg down the road. Let's make sure I got everything here. We will be having, as Mr. Talkington said, a tasting room and a mead hall. In the mead hall areas where we'll be able to sell basically from tap something called a session mead, which is basically a lower alcohol mead. It's usually carbonated. I don't want to say similar to beer, but in the same...
Like hard cider.
Yeah, like a hard cider. We will be looking to hire somewhere between 5 to 10 employees within up to 5 years, depending on the growth of the company and how things move. We are starting off small, so we won't need employees right away. Our manufacturing hours will be Monday through Saturday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. A lot of these hours will change seasonally. We basically just want to get in during the summertime. Hours will be longer. Wintertime now, they will be shorter. Our bottling days can last from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. because we hand bottle, so we don't have any filling machines, so there's not going to be any kind of extra noise. We don't have a bottling line. Again, everything's done by hand, at least for the first couple of years, and then things may progress, but we'll see. We will eventually probably need one. as the demand increases. But as we get bigger, we may also leave where we're at, depending on the size and how we can fit all the tanks that we need. We would like to have what they call bottle days, which basically is where friends, locals can come in, help us hand bottle, feel a part of the process, you know, maybe get a free T-shirt or something out of the deal. I also inserted a paper of the process of the mead making, just so you can kind of see how different it is from beer. Basically sits in a tank for 3 months, goes into another tank, gets filtered, bottled, and then put on the shelves. Our retail hours, Monday through Saturday, 12 p.m. to 10 p.m., Sunday, 12 p.m. to 5 p.m., and again, these hours can be reduced seasonally. We will observe all major holidays as appropriate with our meadery license and or allowed by the state. So, you know, Christmas, New Year's Day, Thanksgiving, all the big state holidays. We plan on selling, I'll mention again, our meads by the glass or pint, growlers, bottles, cases, kegs, and sample tastings. We'll also be selling merchandise such as T-shirts and sweatshirts, posters, mugs, glasses, signs, and other knickknacks. We also plan on having private invite-only catered food pairings. I discussed this with the ABC. As long as we have the correct licenses and the business is closed to the public, we would be allowed to move forward with those. Our tours, we plan on doing tours and sample tastings for the visitors. Tours will run once an hour, starting around 1 and ending around 6 p.m. We do plan on having a grand opening once all licenses are met and our mead is ready for sale. Our expected traffic to start out will roughly be 15 to 20 people or so during the week and around 40 people during weekends. This will be enough to allow us to pay our bills and to make sure everyone gets paid and all that good stuff. Our projected excise tax and federal for the federal and state over the term of our lease basically be under $1,000 each year. We're looking at a projected probably $2,300 for the first 3 years, just because of where we fall with in our tax rate for federal government. For 17 cents, it's $1.07, I believe, per gallon for wine. But if you're under 100,000 gallons produced, it's a 90-cent tax break, so it puts us at 17 cents per gallon. And because of falling under microbrewery for the state, we pay, I believe, roughly $3.10 per barrel, which is 31 gallons. So again, it's roughly another $300. So the first year, we're looking at about $655 to $700. The amount of sewage, we will have a septic system, as Mr. Lank said, and is what we're looking at, that the water will get dispersed in any of the solids. As far as our yeast solids, our maybe our fruit solids, we can collect all those from the fermentation tanks. They can be siphoned off, put into buckets. We can either discuss this with local farmers. We have a pig farmer we talked to about them possibly taking, was that the lees?
Yeah, the spent yeast.
The spent yeast and using for his pigs. We also are in contact right now with Clean Delaware, just in case we don't really make enough waste. We can use Clean Delaware to come in. They can, and we'll pay to pump out the spent yeast in the fruit products. We will have very little impact due to our size. Again, we're only doing around 2,000 to 2,200 gallons. So that brings me to the amount of water that will be used. We will be on the well water. The amount of water used for a small winery is on average 4 gallons used per 1 gallon produced. So basically, if we're doing 2,200 gallons, we would be using 8,800 gallons of water that would use to make our product. We add an additional like 3,000 gallons for bathroom use and water used to wash hands and glassware. Because of being similar to a wine, we'll waste less water. Basically, at the start of our production, we'll use a good bit of water, and then for 3 months, we'll be using very little water because our product will be sitting in tanks, and then towards the end, once we filter and bottle, we'll use a little bit more water to clean the tanks, clean bottles out, and then fill. I used a water calculator, and we will waste less water than a family of two. So I had added the water calculator where I got the numbers from. That basically came out to about 33,000 gallons for the year. So we should probably be sitting anywhere from, I'll say, 12 to 20,000 gallons of water use for the first probably 2 years at least. The number of deliveries that were expected, it will vary from month to month. There will not be more than 10 deliveries per month for the first couple years. Mr. Talkington and I are looking at buying a van. We may pick up a lot of our equipment ourselves to save on shipping. So again, we won't need heavy trucks coming in to drop off tanks or a lot of our products. I mean, eventually we will, but right now we're looking at being able to save as much money as possible and as much wear and tear as possible. Most of the larger deliveries that we will get, they'll be on the quarter. Every 3 months, 4 months, is when we'll get our bulk glass or our honey, basically to allow us to start the next production cycle. The type of delivery trucks that we would be getting, they'd be on the smaller side, usually with a lift gate because we don't have a forklift. So they'll be about the size of UPS trucks, maybe slightly larger, but no 18-wheelers, no large Mack trucks. And the signage we're looking for, we'd like to have the sign consistent with the county codes in Article 21, 115 through 159.5, which is basically the commercial use for signs. That's really all we have about that. Gentlemen, have any questions? Or?
Thank you, gentlemen. We'll see if there's any questions, and we will start this evening with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gentlemen, I'm looking at your lease area plan here that was submitted to us, and being very familiar with the site, my question is, why aren't you developing on this side of the triangle instead of down here where it's so narrow?
That'd be a question to ask the gentleman building the building. I don't really know the answer to that, right?
Might be a question you want to ask him, too, in terms of, just the narrowness of that property there. And then you're looking at possibility of the parking being here and they're having to, walk quite a distance, whereas if the parking was here and the buildings were here, then you're talking about something different. So, I mean, the process of what you're talking about with the mead and all that is, I personally don't have a problem with it, and I might even line up to be one of the first to sample it. But that aside, I'm concerned about the site plan that's been presented to us in terms of where the buildings might be and their locations, along with the parking. So, from that standpoint, I do have questions and concerns. Given the amount of space that's shown up here, unless there's some reason why this area here can't be developed.
Right.
Because you're talking about putting up almost 1,900 square foot building is what you describe as your meadery, and then another, square foot for your possible storage. So why don't we ask your builder to come up and we'll talk about
Sure.
location.
While he's doing that, Mr. Lang, the whole site is the conditional use, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
I was assuming they were going to use, well, they're showing it to use existing structures that already exist.
Yeah, that's true. My name is Wayne Hawkins, and I represent the property owner. And we're putting the building up for the people that want to do the metering. And there's two existing buildings there. The one closest to the road, there's a possibility we might take that down. But there's an existing footing and everything in that property, and that's the reason we chose that site. We don't have any objection going to the other side where it's wider, as long as there wouldn't be a permitting process.
Well, the second issue I have for you, given that location, is, you know, as you're probably well aware, you're very close to the guardrail that's there near the area of the underground pipes and the Cool Spring Branch. Because I'm looking at Google Map, I can see clearly the guardrail goes up almost to one of the buildings that you referenced as being there that may or may not be used. So was using the footprint a way of being able to stay that close to the road, or?
Well, we were using the footprint because we were concerned about being able to get a permit to build on the rest of the property. Being there's already a building there, we would stay with that footprint. I mean, if we could get approval to build on the other end of the property where it is wider, we wouldn't have a problem. We have a 35-foot setback there from the railroad. There's a railroad, so mm-hmm. We're 35 from the center line of the railroad as close as we can build, and that's where that building is located now.
The bigger building?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So that is outside of the setback of the railroad?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Then you talk about, you know, perhaps having music and or private parties. What's the number of people you might be anticipating for such an event?
We'll probably try to keep it around 25 to 30, no larger. Number one, we wouldn't really be able to fit that many in there. Being a tasting room and a meat hall style setting, we can't really go past, I believe it's 35 people for sitting.
Because I'm living here in Georgetown, I'm well aware of the 16 Mile Brewery we have in town, and on occasion they do have outdoor parties that involve a considerable number of people. Now that
mm-hmm.
They're like you, they do have some land in which people could potentially park, but in terms of numbers and the impact, as well as the traffic, that, you know, those are issues that would be of concern.
Sure. That's why we'd like to keep them more as a private, like a ticket. You'd have to buy a ticket to attend. We're not looking to really have big shindig type parties. You know, it's going to just be something kind of small for local people, or, you know, if tourists want to drive up to it. I don't want to say that it couldn't be bigger, but as of right now, we're not planning on having like 100 people at a party or so.
Okay. Have you had any discussion with Del Dot about your entrances?
No, we haven't. We do have an entrance there already. There's a road cut, a Del Dot cut already. And we had the county planning submitted to them, and they said we didn't need a traffic study, but we do have room for, we have a road cut there. It might need to be widened. I think we have 20 foot now.
I'd say they may, if it is a commercial entrance, they may regulate you more on what you have to do for entrance improvements and things.
Especially
like that.
Especially on Route 9.
On Route 9, yeah.
Well, the minimum driveway width is 24 for Del Dot.
Yeah.
And we have certain parking requirements, and Del Dot's got site distance issues that they have to show on their survey when they have to submit for a commercial entrance permit. the existing entrance may be required to be taken out and new entrance put in elsewhere.
I wouldn't assume that just because there's physically an entrance there with the change in use, if this is approved, mm-hmm. that's going to be where it is when all said and done, when DelDOT gets done looking at it.
Right. Yeah, we anticipated there might be some changes being made on the ingress and egress.
In terms of your signage, I suggest you refer to section 115-159.1, which has to do with AR, right. Rather than the commercial or the high and heavy industrial ones, because typically the signage goes with the underlying zoning, which does, and typically the commission, because of the R1 zoning and a permit in that section, we're more inclined to grant signage of 32 square feet, not larger, in an area that's zoned AR. I picked
that just because we were putting a conditional use for commercial. I wasn't really sure which one to kind of go by.
It's your underlying zoning.
Okay.
You have a better chance under that one you do on the other
okay.
ones. And is your property a butt up to the building that has the clothing and the massage therapist and all that?
It does.
Okay. I was.
That's a separate piece of property. We don't own
yes,
that.
Yes, uh-huh. But your property goes up to that. To
yes.
And borders on that. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Chairman, Acting Chairman, Mr. Smith, I have no further questions at this point.
Well, thank you, Mr. Johnson.
You're used to my asking more questions, but
I have a feeling if you have other questions, we can always come back to you.
Thank you.
I'm going to pass to Mr. Burton.
I too just have a couple site plan questions. The entrance that is on this site, is that the one that goes directly into the parking? Is that the current place that it's cut now?
This is the current.
Yeah, it's down by the house.
This used to be an old Southern States building, and it's here. The 20 feet is right here where they're showing it on the plan.
Okay. Is that a proposed entrance there?
Yes.
So you're thinking that?
Yes, that they'll need the extra parking there to get all access to.
Okay. Is it, what is the Cool Spring Branch, this area on the plan? Are you?
Well, actually, it's an open ditch.
So the people walk from the parking lot down in?
We were planning on bridging over.
Okay.
Yeah, we're planning on bridging over. There's a culvert that goes under the railroad there.
Okay.
And then, but right there, it's an open ditch.
Okay. All right. Those are my questions.
Thank you, Mr. Burton. Mr. Ross.
Yes, that was my. I think the request for the use is appropriate in an AR zone. Okay. I don't think it's a zoning issue. So the site plan is, and this is a preliminary site plan. So you can change this. If we were to recommend approval, when a council were to approve it, you can change it and come back with an improved site plan, and that's where we want to get. You know, your concerns about the building permits, sir, are there wetland issues on this side of the branch?
No, I was concerned with the distance from Route 9.
From the intersection up here?
No, there's no intersection problems. Setbacks. Okay. Yeah, setback.
Yeah, because it looks to me like the branch is going to cause some logistical issues for customers and parking and all that, and the entrance is going to, DelDOT is probably going to have some serious issues with the entrance, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize you're trying to save money by using the current foundations, but you're still going to need a building permit. You know, when you demolish and build, you're going to need a building permit, and you'll have to go through the current code and bring all that stuff up to code. So, you know, I think, you know, you know, if we end this process and everything goes favorably for you all, I really think you need to think about the site plan and how it's going to function, and not. And I realize money's always tight, but, you know, a penny saved up front could cost you $10 down the road, mm-hmm. especially if you decide to expand or whatever. So to me, this is very tight in this point. It's right. a very, very tight site plan. You go to expansion and you start talking about, you've got on the record, you know, up to 10 employees and up to 30 whatever guests. And when the staff goes through, it's a calculation for parking, you know, and space and all that. And it's going to blow up bigger than you think by the time you calculate all that out. And you might wish you were on the other side of that branch big time by the time you got done. That's all, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Ross. Mr. Lank.
Just a note, you referenced that you want to try to utilize the existing foundation. If you took the building down to the existing foundation, there's no benefit.
I'm sorry?
There is no benefit by going down to the foundation and then going back up again.
Well, no.
You'd have to get variances and go through that whole process.
Yeah.
You would basically have to rebuild the building wall
exactly.
at a time. It's tedious and
right.
most time doesn't work anyway. Question, you referenced this for the Southern State Building.
Yes.
And that's the building that backs up to the railroad.
Yes, sir.
The other building was used for fertilizer storage or something of that nature.
I think it was. It's more like a two-car garage building, right?
The one question of concern I have is there a church directly across the street?
There is.
So they're going to have an issue with that with the ABC?
No. With the ABC?
Yeah, typically you have to be a certain distance. From
yeah, they changed that law last year, I believe. There's no more site or distance requirement from a church or a school.
Okay, that's fine. And I have to agree with the commission members. It appears based on the site is only 38 feet at this western end and only probably less than 100 feet where you propose to put your parking. And what a couple of the commission mentioned, you may be better off looking at probably building a building on that eastern end if you get the approval.
Where the wider is, yes. Yeah, we don't have any objection to doing that. Whether we build it on the western end, like I said, the only reason we were doing that because there was a problem there. As long as we don't have a problem with setbacks on the eastern end, it would be more preferable to us to build it there also.
So the commission, if they gave it consideration, should be aware that it may be a point that they should note that the site plan that's submitted, if you do get approval as a preliminary, would show basically a totally new concept that you haven't really shown us where things might be.
Right.
And it would be beneficial that we get a drawing of that nature showing what the real intent is if you do go to the eastern end.
We can do that without a problem.
That's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Lank. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
And introducing or breaking the ice here, Ms. Cornwell, any questions or comments on this application?
No questions, comments.
Thank you. Mr. Robertson?
None here either, thanks.
You see where attorneys rank, don't you, right?
I know, I'm used to it.
Right at the bottom.
Gentlemen, if you would kindly take a seat nearby in case there's any questions. We're going to find out if there's anyone here in attendance that has an interest in your application. And thank you for the exhibit book, gentlemen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, is there anyone here that has a favorable interest or opinion on the application of TBHM LLC?
A favorable one?
Sure. Yeah.
Come on up.
Give us your name and address, and you may proceed. Thank you.
My name is Catherine Bronson. I live at 10078 Middleford Road, Seaford, Delaware, 19973.
The last name again, please.
Bronson.
Bronson. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say a few words in support of the proposed metery. One of the reasons I think a metery will be an asset to the area is increased revenue from tourism. In Delaware, tourism is an important part of the local economy, as I'm sure we're all aware. According to DITO's website, we would all be paying an average of $1,300 more in taxes per year if we did not have the tourist dollars. I thought that was interesting. One of the fastest growing forms of tourism is culinary and winery related activities. an average of 27 million travelers currently engage in winery and brewery tours in the United States. Delaware has a fast-growing beer, wine, and spirits industry with new wineries, microbreweries, and distilleries opening up around the state. However, we are behind most small states in this growing form of tourism. Right now, we have four wineries on our winery tourist trail in the entire state. Maryland has 13 wineries just on the eastern shore, and even tiny Rhode Island has seven, and one is a dedicated meadery, which is making honey wine exclusively. Even more impressive than the rapid growth of wineries as a tourist attraction in this country is the amazing growth in the mead industry. Mead may be the oldest historic alcoholic beverage, but it has lagged far behind wine and beer for centuries. However, the popularity of mead is growing again, and the number of meaderies in the U.S. has grown from 60 just 3 years ago to over 150 now. That's about a 130% growth in 3 years. I think it would be great for this first state to have the first meadery on the eastern shore and the only meadery within 100 miles. The location of this meadery is ideal. It is already within the touristy area, not far from the first winery in the state, and along an already well-traveled route. Creating an award-winning meadery as part of the wine, beer, and spirits trail in this state would be a wonderful thing for tourism in this area and for our economy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor of this application? Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to this application? Are there any further questions, Mr. Johnson?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman, I do have one. And if one of the owners might come forward, I have a question for you. The plan that I'm looking at says a lease area plan. Does this mean you're leasing the property or you're going to own the property?
Leasing.
You're leasing it?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So neither one of you got, neither one of the presenters were are owners of the property at this point?
No.
Okay. And the owner of the property is in agreement with what you're proposing?
I'm the owner of the property, yes.
Maybe if you could just come forward so you can state that on the record.
Just for benefit of the record.
Yeah.
Okay. Shauna Thompson. I'm with Dry Acres and Triple B Farms, and we own the property. And we are in support, yes.
Okay. I didn't want somebody to do something to your property.
Yeah, and we.
There was some talk you heard about the site plan changes. Is do you have any objection to how the site's ultimately developed with the buildings on the?
I don't. I, you know, obviously, I'd like to see I consolidation on that. A better use of our property. You know, but no, I have no objection to it moving.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Well, if there are no other questions, I'll close the public hearing. You may remain the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Thank you.